the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. This morning, we're going to continue looking at the church in what is probably one of the most well-known chapters on the body of Christ, the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That is the title of the message, The Body of Christ. As we look at this chapter, we're going to look at primarily verses 12 through 27, 1 Corinthians 12 through chapter 12 through verse 27. Let me read part of it and we'll pray together. The Bible says this, verse 12, "For as the body is not one," "for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Let's pray. Father, as we look at the body of Christ, we look at how it moves, how it works, how it functions, and how we function within the body. What a glorious design. Help us not only to understand the body today, but our place in it. And more importantly, Lord, may we have the right attitude as the Scriptures would like to teach us. Lord, may Christ be the focus. In Christ's name, amen. If I was to ask you a question this morning, and here's the question. And you think about your place in the body of Christ, not talking about your sanctification right now, talking about your place in the body of Christ, your gifting in the body of Christ. Everybody is gifted by the Holy Spirit by at least one gift. Are you content with the gift? Isn't that a great question? Are you content with the gifting that God has given you? We find the two primary lists of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. We also find a few of them in Ephesians 4 and a little bit actually in Peter's epistle as well. But the question this morning, and it is the question for which Paul is writing this letter in chapter 12, is, are we content with God's gifting of the church? For see, what is happening in 1 Corinthians 12 is actually not a new problem. We have this today. Is there are members in the body of Christ. Everyone, as I said, is gifted with one gift. Your gift may be encouragement. Your gift may be mercy. Your gift may be, you know, exhortation or administration or pastoring, whatever the gift may be. And there were people in this church who were envious of other people's gift. And then there are also people in this church who are being talked down because they didn't have, quote unquote, the greater gift. Then there are people in the church who are feeling like they're worth nothing. And Paul says it's all rubbish. Today I want to talk about the body of Christ, and I have a few points this morning. I want us to walk through the text and see how Christ set up the body. Last week we discovered these things, that in Ephesians the Bible says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We also discovered in Ephesians that the foundation of the church is laid on the apostles and prophets, meaning the New Testament. And then the Bible says in Peter that we are the living or lively stones. If you're thinking that that's a building, you've thought correctly. And if you're thinking this sounds a lot like a spiritual building, you've thought correctly. And you're thinking this may be like a temple. And that's the idea. There's a spiritual building and Christ is building it. He's the cornerstone, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we're the lively stones. And when we think about that analogy, and we think about this analogy about the church being a body and Christ is the head of the body, there is something that is happening as the New Testament is teaching this cornerstone perspective in relation to a building and the head of Christ perspective in relation to the church. And this is the point, which is point number one. Point one is the church body has union with Christ. Paul, Peter, Christ are trying to teach us that just as Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 1, we have union with Christ. Why is that important? This is why one writer says the body metaphor shows the unity of believers in Christ and emphasizes these differing roles and gifts of believers and the larger community. because somebody has to direct the body. It's not some random actions. You can't do whatever you want to do. I can't do whatever I want to do. The head, Christ, is in union with the body, directing it, showing it how to minister the gospel to the world. Matter of fact, one writer says this, the individual gifts are to be exercised according to the sovereign distribution of the Holy Spirit. We're in union with Christ. He's directing the church, using us. Number two. Number one, the church body has a union with Christ. Number two, the church body has unity with Christ. Look at verse 12 with me. The Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So that little phrase, so also is Christ, is another way of saying the church is Christ. This is his body moving in the world. The church is Christ's body working, and there's unity in this body. Now, I want to do something kind of fun, and you guys have to look at your Bible with this, or you can just listen to me, but you can look at your Bible, and I'm going to emphasize these two words, and I want you to underline them, or you can just watch and look at your Bible. The first one, when we think about the church body has unity in Christ, look at verse 12 with me, and look at the word one. And I'm going to read this several verses, and you'll see the repetition. Verse 1, verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the one body being many, and are all one body, so also is Christ. For as by one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, it have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. Now, I didn't even go through all the chapter. There's 12 references from verse 12 through verse 27 of one. So if you're reading this cursory, you should be coming away with this thought. This one thought. The Christ is saying that he has one universal body of the church. I know there's local individual churches. We're one of them. But his one body of Christ, that's his point. Number two is the word body. Notice with me as well, and I'll just go through this quickly, verse number 12. Body is one. One body. Verse 13. One body. Verse 14. The body. Verse 15. The body. Verse 16. The body. Verse 17. The whole body. You guys got the picture. So he's referring to the church as the body of Christ, and there's one church. There's not many. There's one body of Christ. He is gifting this church with his gifts. And obviously it's broken up into individual congregations, as you and I know that so well. So there's one body of Christ, and there's this unity in the body of Christ. Matter of fact, one writer said it well. He says these words. And he's referring back to the earlier part of the chapter. He says, these verses form the excellent three-part summary of the rest of the chapter. The human body is a unit. The human body has many parts with necessary diversity in its members. And the parts of the human body work together as one with a dependent mutuality on each to fulfill his particular function. So we're many members, but the body's completely unified. And that's his point. It's one body of Christ with many members, but it's working in unity together to get the gospel to the world. I put it in my notes, we are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. That's the way we think about this. We are functioning as the body of Christ in the world today. All right? That's all kind of stuff. He said, Aaron, I already knew though. That's great. Well, I just reminded you of it, and that's good as well. But let's get to the next few points because this is where we want to spend our time. The body of Christ, number one, the church body has a union with Christ. Number two, the church body has a unity in Christ. Number three, the church body has humility as followers of Christ. Now let's pick it up now at verse number 13 and notice what's happening. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether have been made to drink in the one Spirit. So now he's saying there's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and inside the body of Christ there's not Jew and Gentile. There's not bond and free. We're all gifted the Holy Spirit of salvation, verse 13, and we're all kind of unified in the body of Christ. Now, this is important because if you read the book of James, what does James say about this? And I'm paraphrasing right now. James says, you have a rich and a poor man come to church. You don't give preferential treatment to the rich man and give the poor man the worst seat in the house. You all come together at the foot of the cross, unified as one. There's no pride. So he's saying there's this humility. There's not Jew and Greek. There's not poor and free. There's not slave and free. You're all one in verse 13. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. So there's many members in this Christian body that's moving and functioning. The spiritual gifts I mentioned earlier. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body. Is it therefore not of the body? See, here's what's happening. A guy wakes up in the morning, and he's the foot in the church, and he says, I'm not the hand. The hand gets a lot of action, a lot of activity. I'm always covered with the shoe. I'm not part of the body. I'm not going to that church. How foolish is that? It almost seems like childish. Then verse 16 says, and the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body. So the ear wakes up in the morning and says, well, I'm not the eye, so I'm not going to go and be part of the body. Is therefore now the body, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? So think about that. I know this is funny, but it's almost meant to be. He's saying, this is insanity. If you came to church today and there was a big eyeball up here, you would say, something, first of all, is wrong with Aaron. But then number two, but practically, if the whole body of Christ is an eye, where's the hearing part of the body of Christ? If the whole body of Christ is a hand, where's the foot? If the whole body of Christ is just one member, it's missing the other members. It says in verse 17, if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And here's where we want to kind of hunker down for the next few minutes and look at these next few verses. I want you to stop and everyone should think. The Bible says that Christ gifted his church. So I want you to see this for yourselves. Look at me in the book of Ephesians now, chapter 4. And this may help some of us to just be more content. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 10 with me. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above the heavens, and that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So Christ is gifting his church. And he's not just gifting his church randomly. The Bible says he's gifted the church. And I want you to look at this with your own eyes in verse 18. And now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body. So for the last 2,000 years, God has been redeeming men and women and has saved them and gifted them in the body, the Bible says in verse 18, as it pleased him. I want you to think about that. Your gift, whatever the spiritual gift you have, your time in the body of Christ in 2025, your attendance here at this church, God says it pleased him to put you there. Another way of saying it, he didn't make a mistake. He called me to be a pastor. I didn't know that after I got saved. I was trying to figure that out. It took me a little while, okay? A little slow. That's just the way my brain works. But finally yielded to that. And whatever gift you have, it pleases God to give you that. In other words, don't be envious of somebody else's gift. Verse 19. For if they were one, I'm sorry, and if they were all member, where were the body? But now are the many members, yet but one body. So there's all these members functioning, but there is one body of Christ. It pleased him to put you in the body of Christ. And verse 21, I know it's funny, but you look at it, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So do you see what he's saying? We can't come to church and say, oh, Aaron's going to do the talking today, so you don't need to be here. What? Obviously, what was happening in the church is there was pride, and in this church, in the Corinthian church, some people are saying, my gift is better than yours, and you don't have this gift, but I do, and they were just so braggadocious. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And they were so arrogant that it was causing division in the body. So they were struggling with these sins. Number one, the church in Corinth was struggling with the sin of envy. I don't have your gift. They were struggling with the sin of pride. My gift is better than your gift. Number three, they were struggling with the sin of discontentment, not being content with what Christ pleased to place in the body. There, verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, this is going to get a little bit graphic, but I want you to listen to what's happening here. When he mentions this idea about these members being feeble, feeble means weak. He says there's members of the body that are weak. They're not as grandiose or strong, but they're necessary. And you think about your ears and your different parts of your body. My ears are definitely not as strong as my arms. And they can get hurt. About 15 years ago, I got deathly sick. And I may have told you guys some of the story. Man, I thought I was going to die. I wanted to die. I was so sick. Had mono, strep throat, jaundice. There's a bunch of problems. It was horrible. And one day, I irritated my spleen. And you want to talk about going to the doctor as fast as your car can get there? You don't even know that little thing exists in here. But you irritate it, you're going to rush to the doctor really fast. Because it's what? It's a feeble, weak member. Here's what we need to realize. What is Christ saying about his church? Some in the body of Christ, just like in your body, there's some parts of our body which are weak. They break easy. There's some in the body of Christ who are weaker and feeble. But the Bible says they are necessary in verse 22. We need them. We need these ears to hear. We need these pinkies to move. We need this tongue to work. And you're needed in the body of Christ too. As I was preparing this message and I was thinking through things, I want to just say a few thoughts real quick on this. When we think about the idea of necessary, the word literally means it's indispensable. So every person gifted by Christ is indispensable. It's necessary. You are necessary in the body of Christ. And I was thinking about this, and I know people are always warned to do this, so I'm saying this in generality, but I want to go over this real quick. When Susan decorates the church, that's necessary. When Aaron leads prayer requests, that's necessary. When Nathan reads scripture, that's necessary. When Lance does the sign outside, that's necessary. When Emmett downloads a sermon, it helps me a lot, by the way. I really appreciate that. That's necessary. When May and Naomi and Shelley play piano, that's necessary. When the 12 of us men and two boys work on the windows, that's necessary. When Kermit and Verlene clean the church, that's necessary. When Wendy decorates for VBS, it's necessary. When Alan brings sacks, it's necessary. When Wanda brings coffee, it's necessary. When all of you guys, I think some Bergs brought snacks today, it's necessary. You see what I'm saying? It all works together. And by the way, Henry brings chips to potluck, so I don't want to forget that. Very good. Yeah, and all of you, anyways, I don't know, and you guys have brought snacks too, and the Baileys have brought snacks, and all of you. I'm not trying to leave anybody out. Louise has brought snacks too, and we appreciate that. Okay, so I don't want any nasty emails now. I think I got everybody in here. But do you see that? Do you see what I'm saying? It's necessary. So for anybody in the body of Christ to say, you're not important and God has gifted you and put you in the body, it's rubbish. He's gifted you. He's placed you in the body according to as it pleased him. In verse 18, he says the weaker, feeble members are necessary in verse 22. Look at verse 23. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have abundant comeliness. Now, this is very nice language to protect things. But let me just give you the nutshell of what he's saying. When he says there are things in verse 23 here that are less honorable, the idea here is it means lacking in honor or despised. And when he says there's uncomely parts of the body, it means there are indecent or ugly parts of the body we don't show off. Okay? And that's just what he's saying. Because we put clothes on. And he's saying in the church, we give honor to every member of the body regardless of how they look and who they are. Matter of fact, if you look at me at verse number 23, he says, we give them more abundant honor. In verse 24, and our comely parts, or comely is this idea of nice looking. Our nice looking parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. The word tempered means he fit it together, or he united it together. So I want you to think about the flow of this passage. There's one body, many members function in the body of Christ to get the gospel to the world. Each one has a spiritual gift. Christ placed it in the body as it pleased him. It was his sovereign prerogative because he's the head of the church. He not only pleased it together, but he fitted it together. He tempered it together. He put it together to get the gospel to the world to fulfill the Great Commission. Isn't this an amazing reality? So here's the problem. The problem Paul was facing, and I want you to look with me at verse number 24. For the comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body. I want you to think about this. This is like, and this is an awesome thought. Matthew 28, go into all the world. Make disciples. In other words, get the gospel to the world. I will take my church, Acts 1:8. I will gift it. I will put the church together with the members as it pleased me. I will unite them together, and they will march on and preach the gospel to the world. But there's one thing that's going to destroy it. The schism. Schism means division. This is why Paul said, nobody speaks down to the weaker member. Nobody says, I am better than you. We all march to Christ in humility and obedience. And it's glorious. Because you know what? The foot of the cross is level. I come to church, you come to church. We fellowship, we love, we drink coffee, we hug, whatever. And we're all the same. There's no distinction of Jew, Greek, rich or poor. With all that in mind, I'm going to give you the next point. The church body has a calling from Christ. The calling from Christ. I just went over the verse here and it says schism. I'll quickly review. Look with me at verse number 25. There should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. In other words, you care for every member of the body the exact same way, whether they're Jew, Gentile, whether they're free or whether a slave, whether they're rich, whether they're poor, you care for them the same way. Before I go any further, I want to stop. This is heaven on earth. This is the most glorious family in the world. Everybody at the foot of the cross is on the same playing field, functioning in humility, caring for one another with no partiality. Could life be any better? This is truly glorious. Verse 25, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I love it. You're rejoicing, we rejoice with you. We're suffering, we suffer with you. You're weak, we help you. You need care, we all function the same. Many of you may remember Dr. D. James Kennedy. I really liked him. You can still listen to his stuff free, by the way. I enjoyed him. He has a great thought about the church. This will be helpful for all of us. He says, most people think of the church as a drama with the minister as the chief actor, God as the prompter, and the laity as the critic. What is actually the case is the congregation is the chief actor, meaning the body. The minister is the prompter. I'm encouraging you to get to work. And God is the critic. And in this passage, he says in verse 27, now you, or ye, are the body of Christ, and members in particular. In other words, God is saying, this is who you are. If you're taking notes, I want to give you some closing thoughts just by way of application. Number one, this church was struggling at least with these four issues, and you should know this. Number one, there was envy in the church. They were envious of somebody else's spiritual gift. If that is you this morning, beloved, I'm calling you gently to stop it. Repent of it and get away. You say, Aaron, I've never seen this happen in the church. Well, I have. It is not healthy for you or the church. Just stop it, okay? Just don't do it. Let me give you a reason why. God sovereignly gave that person their gifting and the grace to fulfill that calling, not you. Okay, just take it out of your mind. Be a good way to do it. Number two, they're not only envious. Number two, that people were discontent. They wanted somebody else's gift. What? I've got enough to do with my own gifts. I don't need to take yours. And so they were discontent. Number three, they were causing division in the body. Number four, they had pride. Those are the four issues which are raging through this chapter, and Paul says these words, verse 18, but now hath God set in the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So when we function in those four areas, whether it's pride, discontentment, envy, or division, do you know who really you're mad at? Not Aaron. Not this church. Not the church universal. You're actually mad at God in rebellion to him. Don't do it, beloved. Don't do it. It's just not healthy. So I'll close you with some encouraging words on this, and then I think you'll find this good. Owen S. Glasburn said these words. He entitled his little poem, My Church. He says, a room of quiet, a temple of peace, a home of faith where doubting cease, a house of comfort where hope is given, a source of strength to help us to heaven, a place of worship, a place to pray. I found all this in my church today. And when we function according to humility and contentment with how God has gifted us, and we come to the church, there's wonderful joy. And I hope that'll be your case. Let's pray together. Lord, we're here today and our hearts are filled with this sense of gratitude that you have put us in the body as it pleased you. You have tempered us together as it has pleased you. You have called each one of these members with different gifts to serve Christ in their community, in their homes, in their church, as you have seen fit. Lord, we are satisfied with your will. May we fulfill the calling to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name.